In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Our energy fan line, nothing like some PP in the morning. Ha 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 ha. Morning, boys. I'm here for the sophomoric humor this early in the morning. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. I'm thankful for Seth's outbursts that perfectly encapsulate how I feel about the Texans. You have taken on, over the last several days, via clips from our show, clips from your YouTube, you have taken on a bit of a voice of the people persona.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm on a social media, just for mental health purposes. I'm only allowed on social media for a certain amount of the day, and I'm aware that I've had some clips being circulated, but I haven't kind of clicked on anything or anything. But I sense that, Sean. I sense that some of the things out there right now, people are
they're in agreement with you. There's I've seen a lot of Seth is saying exactly what I'm thinking. You know,
Well, don't tempt me on going into
stay on your
self indulgent rabbit hole.
Stay on your detox. No, I'm just telling you. Okay. I'm just telling you it's going well for you out there right now. I'm just like out there as you press your face up against the glass of social media to peer in and see how things are going. Don't just walk away. I'm telling you, it's going well for you.
Oh, no, no, I know. Because for every 1,000 comments, it's the one negative one. Every 1,000 positive comments, it's the one negative one that's going to stick in my craw.
That's the bird poop on the window right there. Yeah. Oh, damn.
No, I think, honestly, in a lot of ways, even I was on my YouTube stream yesterday, and one of my viewers, who's also one of our listeners, said, you know, why is it now? And this is a guy that's been down on Bobby Slowick for a long time. Yeah. Why is it now? And I think that Titans game was really the culmination of a lot of things that we had identified that were issues going up against the Titans team that, bad as they are by record, the Titans team could challenge the Texans on those very issues, and the Texans failed in every regard. And that's where, when you lose to a two-win football team, you know, which includes in this period of several weeks, the Jets. You lost to the Jets. This is where the rubber met the road, I think, for a lot of people. And you said, all right, there's no more time left in the season. There's no fixes. This is getting worse. The Titans have been a bad team. What the hell's going on?
Amidst everything you said right there, the three magic words, it's getting worse. That's the most frustrating thing, because we've been sold that these problems are fixable, that they can get fixed with the people that are in the building right now.
Yeah.
And they are. They're getting worse. They're not. It's the opposite of getting fixed. Like, it's deteriorating. The most frustrating thing for me, as I sat under a tree metaphorically and thought about this Texans team yesterday, I hate narratives. I really do. I'm more into what do I see with my eyes? What's the truth? What are things telling me? I'm not a big narrative guy. The narrative that you must hire an offensive head coach in this day and age. We know Colin Cowherd is a big espouser of that. I actually checked with his producer yesterday, Greg Tuohy, who's a Houstonian, listens to the show. We love Greg. And I said, hey, man, I haven't gotten to see everything lately with Colin. Has he pointed out that the Texans have struggled mightily offensively while having a defensive head coach? That's something that Cowherd likes to point out, but he's not alone. There's a lot of people that feel that way. And I don't necessarily feel that way. And let me say right now, I think DeMeco Ryans is a good head coach who's going through a really rough patch right now. I think he's going to learn. Yeah. I think DeMeco's about to learn a lot of things over the next couple of months, I think, on how to be a CEO of the on-field product for the Texans. So this is So I think hiring D'Amico Ryans was a great hire. I don't care that he's a defensive coordinator coming in. I don't care that that's his side of the ball, the area of expertise. I am more into my head coach being an overall leader and vision setter for the organization, a motivator, all of those things. Dan Campbell's probably the best example of that right now.
Yeah.
Real quick, Seth. One of my most frustrating things about the Texans right now is that the narrative of you have to have an offensive head coach is getting fueled right now by the way they're operating. The offensive side of the football is what's failing this team. And D'Amico himself is saying things that are more defensive coordinator-like than head coach-like. You know what I mean?
Like right, when he's given up, he's talking about how the defense needed to do more to win that game.
That's
and
exactly
everything,
what
which
I'm
is
talking about.
Something
yes.
that a defensive coordinator would say to his team, but not necessarily the unit.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were really angry about that one because it felt to them like he was throwing the defense under the bus. I think D'Amico is aware also, though, as a defensive coach, he has to be careful not to let the offense think that he's favoring the defense or something. So I understand why coaches talk that way. I think just to address the original point, the league is helping you out a little bit in this regard when it comes to wondering whether you should hire an offensive or a defensive head coach. If you look at the division leaders, the Bills, 9-2, defensive head coach.
Yep, yep.
The Chiefs, obviously, the Chiefs. The Steelers, 8-3, defense. You know, leading the division.
Yeah.
Tied with the Ravens. Those two are just above the Ravens. But those teams both have 8 wins. Steelers have a defensive-minded head coach. Ravens have a special teams coordinator as a head coach.
Yep, yep.
Texans, defensive head coach. Yeah. Eagles are offense. Seahawks, division leader.
Head coach.
Tied with the Cardinals, defensive head coach.
Yeah.
The Lions, Dan Campbell's not an offensive coordinator.
No.
Like, he's an overseer of everything.
He was never an OC, right? He was a tight ends coach, right?
Yeah. And then the Falcons, Raheem Morris, defensive-minded head coach. His second coaching job ever was at Cornell University, by the way.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more you know. I want to circle
me and Andy Bernard hanging out later.
The three of you. I want to circle back to the very first one, the Bills, who you brought up. Defensive head coach who had the guts to fire his offensive coordinator in the middle of the season last year.
Kazam!
Right?
Good point, Sean Pendergast.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're going to be, if you're a defensive head coach in this day and age where it is still a game that's largely dictated by offenses, I know it looked like the defenses had figured a few things out earlier in the season with all this cover two and everything else.
Yeah,
the offenses have gotten it back in gear. Then you better be good at hiring, and you better be ready to make tough decisions, and you better be ready to eject on your friends when the time comes, you know?
Yeah, and right. That's when you pop the membrane as a head coach, is when you fire one of your friends. Yeah, when you realize, hey, if I'm gonna listen to my own propaganda about the team always being the most important thing,
yes.
You can't be a hypocrite and, you know, not keep the team as the ultimate and most important thing in the direction we're all pulling in if you're not sacrificing a friendship along the way.
That's it, man. So that's what's frustrating to me is, I hate that narrative of gotta hire an offensive coach in this day and age, and I hate that the Texans right now have morphed into an example that helps fuel that narrative. I'm not saying they should have hired an offensive coach. I'm not saying that they I like D'Amico Ryans. Let me just say that. I just hate that this is where we're at right now, that they could point at the Texans and go, see, told you. They're going to squander one of the best young quarterbacks in football if they keep doing this. And, you know, who knows? They might if they keep doing this.
Yeah, the league, like I said, though, this is the worst year possibly in recent history for anybody to have that opinion because the majority of the most competitive teams in the league right now have defensive-minded head coaches.
I feel better. You made me feel better about it. Jalen Petrie, he's out. We'll get our first practice report, injury report, I should say, from practice today. I'm guessing Jalen Petrie will be out because here's what D'Amico Ryans had to say on his coach's show, but I thought, if this is indeed what the situation is with Jalen Petrie, this isn't nearly as bad as it could be.
Jalen will be out for a couple weeks with a shoulder injury. Man, it's a gut punch to me. He's a guy that he did so much for me defensively and what I was able to call, what I was able to do just with the different things that he was able to do, whether it's blitzing or covering, like fitting in the run, like being a nickel and being able to fit in the run fit. The way he fits in a run fit is just, you don't see that much. Yeah. Most people are trying to keep him out of the run fit, but I'm trying to get Jalen into the action as much as possible. He's just been such a dynamic playmaker for us. all throughout the year. Yeah. So, yeah, we had to pick up the slack there. It's going to be tough.
Yep.
That's because how active he was and, you know, just how instrumental he was to just how our scheme started to shift and change throughout the year. So we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up and try to hold it down for him as long as he needs to be out. But, man, praying for Jalen to have a speed and recovery.
All right, so he said at the beginning of that cut, Seth, Jalen Petrie is going to be out a couple weeks. Now, I don't know. There was no follow-up to it, so I don't know that it's literally a couple of weeks or if that's just a colloquial, you know, he's going to be out for a little while kind of thing. He said a couple of weeks.
But it was short term, you know?
Yeah,
we'll see him next year.
And if we take it at face value, right. Like, it sounds like he'll be back, right? It sounds like he'll be back. If it is a couple of weeks, this might be the one thing about the week 14 bye that actually works out in the Texans' favor.
Well, it almost works out perfectly. If you looked at my most optimistic example of a guy who's played through a partial pec tear, would be Frank Ragnow, the center for the Lions.
Yeah.
And Frank Ragnow, and center is a position where you need your pec a lot more often and a lot more violently than at star or safety or whatever. He missed one game and then a bye week, or vice versa. He missed 2 weeks, and one of them was a bye week, and played the rest of the season and has played really well. But I went back and watched him versus the Texans, and damn, he put one on some of those defensive tackles with wearing that stupid little shoulder harness that doesn't work. I hate that thing so much. I hate it.
Really? It's just for show? It doesn't do anything?
I was trying to play through a chronically dislocating shoulder
one year. They put that on you?
And they put this little harness on that's supposed to restrict your range of motion. Yeah. And if anything, it just felt like, all it did was when my shoulder would inevitably dislocate again, it felt like it was holding it out of the joint once it was out there. It's like, don't worry, we got it.
Yeah.
It ain't going nowhere now.
Yeah.
We got it right where we want
it. That's funny.
So
Petrie, yep.
Petrie, like, there is hope. But, and then some of the other ones, though, as I was looking for evidence that, okay, he might be able to come back. Both the Watt brothers make an appearance. But J.J. got his surgically repaired and came back over 2 months later. The timeline doesn't work out there. T.J. Watt tore his pec in the first game of a season and ended up missing 8 weeks. He didn't have surgery.
Okay.
But that timeline doesn't really work out either. So if I'm looking for the most optimistic, it's, hey, Frank Ragnow missed a couple weeks and came back. And so anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks is your most optimistic window right now if he chooses not to have surgery.
Yeah, this'll... I feel strongly that Jalen Petrie, if there's a sliver of a chance of him getting on the field, he'll be on the field. You know, like,
I've seen a lot of people say that, you know, hey, all right, just, you know, take care of yourself. You want to be healthy for the long run. Just have Jalen Petrie get the surgery. This isn't the type of injury where I would worry about that. This is one of those things where, as a player, I think most guys, you know, when you're doing the risk reward ratio, Petrie strikes me as a guy that says, well, if I tear it completely, I tear it completely. If I'm going to have surgery anyway, then what's the sum total of it is that, yeah, I'm going to have a few months off at some point. It's partially torn right now. Sometimes if you tear something completely, it makes the surgery a little simpler, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just go out and roll the dice and see what happens. The surgery takes about 3 months to recover from.
Yeah.
So whether I have it now or if I have it in January, it doesn't really change my offseason.
Yeah, Jalen Petrie's going into his fourth year. If he gets surgery for a torn pectoral muscle, he's not missing anything that's gonna impact his ability to be productive in 2025. What's he missing? Workouts in April? Couple OTAs, you know, whatever.
My favorite injury where in the NFL you'll see that approach sometimes is with a partial plantar fascia tear. You know, so plantar fasciitis, everybody knows it's really painful. A lot of the people
awful listening
have had it.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll get a partial tear. The solution, Sean, is to just slice through it completely, and then guys are fine to go out and play. Sometimes you just hope for the complete and total tear. Same thing with AC joints. Like, you don't really need your AC joint for anything, but it's painful as hell.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's better just to lop off the tip of your clavicle and just get back out there. Yeah.
I don't like this segment at all.
I love when the solution is just cut off a body part.
Oh,
just do it.
That's where you and I differ.
Started off with my foreskin, when I was a baby, and then I just kept on that same attitude moving on.
I was there.
This thing going to be an annoyance to
right,
me?
Right.
Lop it off. That's what I said to that stupid doctor.
Yeah, I was there, too. That's where the road. That's where the fork in the road was for me, though. I went
doctor
with the
doctor was saying, you know, Mrs. Payne, some people are choosing not to do this at all because why the hell are we doing this? And I said, shut up, wimp.
Those are your first words.
Seth's, do your job.
Seth's first words were screaming, do your job at a doctor in the delivery room. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. When the Texans hired D'Amico Ryans, I thought to myself, it would be wise for him to hire a veteran offensive coordinator to handle that side of the ball. When Kubiak brought in Wade Phillips to coach the defense, things turned. Something could happen now with a veteran offensive mind. That I forget. I think it was on Twitter that I replied to a tweet about that yesterday. Now, there's a few people that are dreaming about Gary Kubiak. I don't think that's happening. But in looking ahead and knowing that there is a decent chance the Texans are going to have to change coordinators here, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe Bobby fixes it. Who knows? But let's pretend that could happen, and because it could. I want a veteran guy. I don't want a first-timer anymore. And that's and that is because there had been talk of like, okay, well, let's give Gerard Johnson a shot here and see what he can do. And I think Gerard Johnson's a really good quarterback. I think he's a bright, young coach who's got a really bright future. I think this is very similar to 2010 when you had Frank Bush coordinating the Texans' defense, a defense that had a lot of talent on it. You know, ultimately, I mean, I know they made some additions in that offseason, some significant ones, but a lot of the guys that were on that defense that went from near last in the league to top five were guys who were playing for Frank
Kareem
Bush the
Jackson
previous years.
Kareem Jackson went from being a bust to a Pro Bowler with the change of an offense or defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
The other big thing is the offensive line coach. I think maybe the best example of how much the offensive line coach still really matters, and especially in a scheme like this, might be Chris Forrester, the offensive line coach for the 49ers. Because remember, Chris Forrester was the guy who was caught on video talking to that stripper about how much he couldn't wait to snort coke off of her body when he was with the Dolphins.
Right.
He's still very well employed and compensated in the NFL. I think a lot of people thought, like, oh, no, Chris Forrester. No, well, it turns out, you know, he's a hell of an offensive line coach. So, yeah, he's got a job.
Yeah.
And he seems like a guy I want to hear some stories
from. Dude, at this point, I'd try to poach him and put hookers and blow in his contract.
I'd have him talk to Charles Barkley about Houston strip club.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Chris.
Is this what you like? Is CJ going to get killed on your watch? No? Okay, here you go.
Getting an apartment above the men's club.
Brick of cocaine and a condo next to treasures. Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Thanksgiving Eve Wednesday. We'll get to headlines coming up next. Texans back at practice today. Big win for the Rockets last night. College football playoff rankings are out. Man, this is going to be a fun weekend of college football. We'll get into that in headlines coming up next.